always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
And I actually really like that J.J. Redick was frustrated enough to get into it with Jared Vanderbilt when he felt that Vando wasn't playing with the type of energy and discipline that the Lakers call for from all of their players, no matter the situation on the court or no matter the situation on the sidelines. And I really enjoyed watching J.J. call out DeAndre Ayton for not having hands to be able to catch the basketball. Like, catch the freaking ball. You don't like it when your coach calls you out for not catching the basketball? It seems like a fairly simple solution here, DA. Catch the fucking ball. You're like, you want to go down the line of, like, you know, whoever else J.J. Redick may have called out over the course of the year. I haven't seen him call out too many players where, and I felt like that felt unfair, you know, and even earlier in the year, I was criticizing J.J. Redick for calling out others and not necessarily ever really holding himself accountable. But I thought actually he improved on that front over the course of the year. So I don't know, the conversation over the last 48 hours or so since the Lakers, you know, lost to OKC, I get it. It's social media. We have to send an opinion. We have to give a take. We have to blame somebody. But sometimes there's also just value. Like, I saw somebody saying, because I said, man, the way that this Lakers season is ending, it really sucks. It's really kind of depressing. And somebody's like, oh, what a horrific tweet. And it's like, sometimes there is value in just saying, you know what, man, this sucks. Right. Like, we've all had friends that we call, significant others that we call, and we say, hey, Jen always tells me this all the time because I'm a fixer. Right. Like, me personally, my dad's an engineer. I am the kind of guy who always looks for a solution. So sometimes Jen will call me or just, you know, talk to me on the couch when the kids are down and we've had a tough day parenting, or she's had a tough day at work, or, you know, family problems with her folks or with her sister or whatever. And sometimes Jen will, you know, tell me about whatever is going on there. And on the front end of the conversation, be like, hey, just so you know, like, I'm not looking for a solution here. I just need to get some shit off my chest. I just need to talk, get this negative energy out of my lungs and out into the atmosphere. And then we can move on. And then when that time comes, or if that time comes where Jen is actually looking for a solution or is actually looking for feedback in that conversation, then all right, let's reach that stage of the conversation. And I feel like on social media, you know, when in sports, for whatever reason, like, we can't just say, this sucks. It has to be, this sucks because, right? Like, my sports life sucks because. We can't just say, my sports life sucks. And I think we would have a lot healthier conversations if we just allowed ourselves or allowed other people to just be like, you know, I don't care what your solution to this problem is. I just want to be able to sit here and say, it really sucks that the Lakers seem to have turned a corner and then all of a sudden don't have Luka and Austin right now, right before the playoffs. We should be able to just say that sucks. But instead, over the last 48 hours, it's been like, this sucks because J.J. Redick insulted Jared Vanderbilt. It's like, I don't think that's the reason this sucks, man. Yeah. Like, I don't think there is a solvable reason that things aren't where we want them to be. They just are where they are. And it's on us to kind of get through this shit together. Let's lighten this thing up. Let's talk about Point Kennard. Luke Kennard, as he is sometimes called in our offside chat, has been so effing fun. Like the numbers and the production that he's putting up, and I think it's really worth talking about this from the standpoint of moving forward, because obviously Kennard is a free agent after this season. And I think the Lakers, well, from what I've heard, the Lakers are very interested in bringing him back this summer. But also from like a basketball standpoint, having a guy who, has this kind of juice on the ball, it kind of allows you to have a really fun, like two sides of the same coin combo with him and Marcus Smart. Because what I would like to see happen here for the Lakers is for them to upgrade at the Marcus Smart spot and then have Smart come off of the bench as well as Luke Kennard. And then now you have like Smart and Kennard in either Austin or Luka lineups here moving forward. I am still very much on board with bringing LeBron back next year, and Smart, Kennard, LeBron lineups intrigue me quite a bit. But yeah, like those, like Kennard having this kind of juice as a creator, whether that's in the pick and roll or whether that's attacking closeouts or just off of his sheer gravity, like this opens up a lot for the Lakers. So it's been really fun to watch that. And I also think here, moving forward, while the Lakers don't have Luka, and while they don't have Austin, one thing, and they did this early in this game, and they went back to it at various points over the course of the game as well. But the Lakers, basically, their offense is predicated on getting the ball into the paint, collapsing the defense, and kicking the ball out to either shooters or creators, right? And as much as I like Luke Kennard, like I don't really trust him in the sense of like stand up at the 3-point line or higher and wait for a screen and go around the screen and create around that screen. Like that's not really his game. That's not really what I'm looking for the Lakers to do. But I do think that using the sheer terror that teams feel when he like even looks at the basket, using that and putting LeBron in the post or in the pinch post or at the elbow or, you know, one dribble away basically and in from the basket, like between Marcus, between Kennard, I think Drew Timmy is really good with stuff like this. Like basically what I would like for the Lakers to start doing is having LeBron operate as the fulcrum of the Lakers offense from various post positions, and Luke Kennard very much allows you to do that. And then also completely terrifies teams on the weak side so that LeBron has that much more room or that much more time to get to the basket, if that is what he is so inclined to do in some of those spots. So Point Kennard, very intriguing. Secondary creator Kennard, obviously very intriguing. Gravity and floor spacing Kennard is something that, you know, is just kind of obviously inherent to his value on a basketball team. All of that together, you know, just if what we're looking for from various role players on this Lakers roster is like, hey, just keep us afloat. Can you just do that for us, right? Can you just help the Lakers tread water? And I think Luke Kennard's on-ball creativity helps the Lakers tread water against the fraudulent Houston Rockets, just in case they can get by well enough and maybe get one of Austin and then eventually maybe get both Luka and Austin back for a postseason run. But I am very intrigued by Luke Kennard here moving forward, and would very much like to see him on the Lakers next season. All right, let's dive on into some of your guys' questions. We have at least one super. Yeah, we have one super comment, which means I get to play the most important sound on the show. Apologies, that was Draymond Green. Here's the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right, so the question or the super comment that we have here from earlier is Detective Bluto Mind Pretzel 23 asking, who wins a basketball catching contest? Ayton, Vando, or Reddish? Those three have the worst hands. Rob needs to stop giving everyone player options. This was actually something I had joked about with a scout about, and a few people around the league about, was like, people just always ask themselves when the Lakers, you know, sign players to these deals, they kind of like joke and take bets as to whether or not there's going to be a player option attached to that deal. And far more likely than we would all like to see the Lakers have some of those guys on player options, or it extends like a year too long. And the response when I ask Lakers people about this is like, well, we weren't going to get player X without the player option. We weren't going to get player X without attaching an extra year to that contract. And it's like, it's perfectly fine to push away from the table on that player X, right? Like, I'm sorry. You probably didn't need to sign Bronny James to a 4-year contract, even if next year's deal is partially guaranteed. You didn't need to sign Jared Vanderbilt to such a long contract and have a player option at the tail end of it. And so, yeah, like, yeah, and it's weird because, you know, I don't know if Rob thinks that he gets like the 15% cut that he was getting as an agent if he hands out those deals. But it's really weird that Rob isn't as good at negotiating in these in within those confines than he is right now. So hopefully that improves here moving forward. As far as like the basketball catching contest between Ayton, Vando, or Reddish, I say Vando wins. Reddish comes in second. Ayton comes in third. And I really think like the biggest thing here with Ayton is I think he's kind of just like a very lazy guy sometimes, and you'll see this in boxing. Like when I was boxing, and you ask anybody who's ever boxed, my favorite people to you know, whether it was sparring or actually, you know, having going a few rounds with, my favorite people were always the people who like I knew I could lower their gloves on. Right. And that's the point of body shots, right? Is eventually you want, you know, you have your hands up here usually, you know, and the point is right to, you know, to not have a target up here and to, you know, get those glancing blows off of the hands. And then eventually you throw enough body shots that those hands go from up here towards the eyes to like the nose to down here, and that's when you can start throwing the shots that do real damage. And then there are also just like boxers who are just lazy, right? And they would like just start, or they were like cocky or whatever, but they would like start and their head would like, they would just, their face would be open right from the get-go. And you're like, are you sure? Like, you know what? Like, you know that I could just, all it takes is one jab. Like, is that okay? And I feel like Ayton is that boxer who just like starts is like, what? What are you going to? Ow. All right. Good shot. That was one. What are you going to? Ow. You know, and I Ayton, like the number of times that he's, and it's really weird because they'll set a screen and you're like, Ayton, hands, buddy, hands up here. You know, have your hands ready. And yet they are not. They are often not ready. So I have him finishing third. Reddish, I think, is skilled enough to catch the basketball. Vando is a very close first place, but all three of those guys, it's like, you know, it's that Mario Kart race where everybody was just shooting each other with green and red shells and slipping over banana peels and driving off of the course. And eventually, like 37 minutes later, somebody has to win it. That's how that competition goes. All right, let's scroll up here to the top. Space 4413 writing, LeBron will beat the Rockets. So I've been thinking about this a lot. And, you know, the funny thing about the Rockets is if this is the matchup, right? This iteration of the Lakers going up against this iteration of the Rockets, their style of defense in the playoffs, I don't think lends itself all that well for what LeBron would be looking to do against them, right? Like, if your offense is predicated on a point guard, you know, penetrating the defense, getting into the key, kicking it out, and wreaking havoc that way, Amen Thompson is not the guy that you want to face. But if you have like a bludgeoning, just forceful presence in your offense that can get to spots by way of just sheer force and tenacity and overwhelming physicality, the Rockets don't really have any defenders to stop LeBron from doing that on. Like, he's going to move Jabari Parker wherever he wants to move Jabari. He's going to move Tari Eason and Amen Thompson wherever he wants to move those guys too. Maybe they put Şengün on him, but at that point, is that really what your answer to you know, that Rubik's Cube should be? That doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. So like, if the Lakers were to face off against the Rockets, what I would probably be looking for is LeBron operating out of the post, pinch post, or the elbow, or at the top of the key, or whatever, and those entry passes more likely than not being thrown by Luke Kennard, who, if he fakes the entry pass, can just shoot the three-pointer. I am concerned about the ball handling outside of LeBron, right? Like, if it's Bronny, that makes me nervous. Even if it's like Marcus Smart, that makes me nervous. The Lakers would probably have to rely on secondary or tertiary ball handlers to bring the ball up the court and get them into their sets. Like, I'm not saying it would be easy, but I see a path, space 4413, where I could see that playing out that way. We'll see. I don't want to jinx it, but I could see it. Let's see. Jared Mashad, 6754. Imagine if LeBron had been drafted by the Lakers. I think about this all the time. I think he would have 8 championships. No joke. Like, I just think, you know, you look at Lakers, great Lakers who have been drafted by this organization. They all get, you know, to 4 or 5 or whatever it is, championships. And I think LeBron would have been no different, maybe even higher than everybody else. That is a great what if. I when I used to host Locked On NBA with Adam, that was one of the points that I would always make, is like, look, you want to knock the Lakers organization all you want, but you and I both know that if the Lakers had drafted Bronny or LeBron, not they did draft Bronny, but had they drafted LeBron, we're probably looking at a very different conversation than we had during LeBron's first stint with the Cavs. And then now reaching the end of LeBron's career, like we're probably talking about the greatest of all time if LeBron is drafted by the Lakers and not the Cavs. Let's see. Oh, I missed this one. Sorry. Let's run. Let's Run UNLV writes, Rob's got to hate that LeBron will come to the negotiating table this summer just having played like a superstar carrying the Lakers in the playoffs. I'm glad you asked this question because I think it's worth bringing up as often as we possibly can. I don't see a path that the Lakers could take to replacing LeBron doing everything that he has shown that he has been able to do over the course of the season. You need him to be a tertiary 3-and-D wing? Okay, I'll go and do that for all of March to the tune of a whatever it was, 16 or 17. No, it was 16-2 month that the Lakers enjoyed then. Oh, shit. You don't have LeBron or you don't have Luka in this one? All right, I guess Austin and I have it, and we'll help you win 50-plus games over the course of the season. You don't have Luka or Austin, okay, fine. I'll go out and damn near drop a 30-point triple-double to help you guys win a must-win game. It's the way that, like, Pete and I are going to talk about it in the lounge tomorrow, when we're on the hook tomorrow when we record it. But, like, it, you know, just based off of, you know, the way that he has kind of talked about this and some of what I hear from, you know, Lakers people is like, you know, yeah, like LeBron has been really good, but we've also been planning for this moment in our cap, you know, in terms of cap flexibility for years now. We have to take advantage of it. And it's like, okay, you could take advantage of it, but it has to be a better way than paying LeBron a reasonable contract next season, because I don't see him returning to the NBA on anything other than a reasonable contract. Because if it's like, all right, either retire or play on a minimum, LeBron's going to retire. If it's like, LeBron, you can either retire or play on a $20 to $30 million contract, I think you probably do the latter. And I think the Lakers, if he's going to take that kind of deal, the Lakers are the best opportunity that he would potentially have to win a championship on that kind of a contract, let alone a minimum, but on that kind of contract, especially. All right, I'm going to get up out of here and get you guys ready for a conversation with Pete and me tomorrow. Also have a bonus episode coming at some point, either this weekend or heading into next week, that I think you guys would really, really enjoy. So keep an eye out for that. The best way to ensure that you don't miss it is to hit that like button and then hit also that subscribe button and then turn on those notifications, whether it be for YouTube and also for this show. Tell your friends that you love the show. Tell your enemies that you hate it. And if you guys are listening to this in the morning by a podcast, subscribe wherever you get those, preferably on Odyssey, but wherever you get them, it's perfectly fine with me. Until the next time you guys hear from me, which is going to be tomorrow, have a great rest of your nights. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.